Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. And I finally have on the show someone who we've been chasing each other for months. We recorded this episode months ago, and then I don't know what was up with me that day, but I did not press record. So we spent 2 hours on the phone with this amazing content. And ever since then, I've been trying to track down Christine. Thank you so much, Christine, for being so patient with me.
Yeah, we made it happen, girl.
I made it happen, and now the stars have aligned, and we're here together. But before we get into the interview, guys, let me just introduce Christine. Christine Gutierrez, LMHC, is a Latina psychotherapist, love addictions expert, life coach, and expert in trauma, abuse, self-esteem, who currently resides in Brooklyn. Christine has her bachelor's from Fordham University in Human Behavior and Development and a master's from City College of New York in Mental Health Counseling with a focus on community and prevention. Christine offers one-on-one therapy and coaching. In addition, she offers group coaching, transformational retreats, and psychological savvy media content for her website. She is also a featured guide on Rachel Brithen's AKA Yoga Girls new website platform for healing. And Christine is also the founder of the nonprofit Therapy is Cool, which is founded in Puerto Rico, where the mission is to empower marginalized youth and communities. Christine's ultimate mission is to empower as many people as possible to hear their pain and own their worth. Welcome back, Christine.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. I want to jump right in, Christine, because it's funny because as I was rereading your bio, I was thinking about our last interview and what it was about, and then all the recent events that happened in my life and how I have so many burning questions about this kind of love doctor kind of thing that I get from reading your bio and stuff like that. But before we get into like my questions about that, can you tell us a little bit about you, Christine, as a therapist and as an entrepreneur, because you kind of have a well-oiled machine right now. Tell us a little bit about how you got into your line of work.
Yeah, so I always take it way back, and I always say that, you know, this work is definitely something that I feel called to have done. You know, ever since I can remember as a little girl, I was drawn to helping people that were marginalized, that were poor, that were left out, and, you know, I grew up in Brooklyn, and I remember seeing homeless people and this specific man that always sat in front of the Duane Reade. And I would remember my heart like just breaking and begging my mom, you know, like, I want to know what happened to him. What happened to his parents? And can I talk to him? And she let me, you know, of course, with her there. And, you know, he was like the local homeless man of our community. And I felt like I was always curious about people's stories, and my heart like bled for people. And, you know, I think that connection to human suffering, to wanting to help, was in me when I was born. And then I continued to follow that kind of inner soul call to be of service, to help. And inevitably things in my life ended up happening as well, where I was also suffering. And so now it wasn't only just like the desire to help others, but also I was the one that was in pain and I needed to help myself as well. And so I think those two kind of things merging together really led me on this path of becoming a healer and a teacher of, you know, the psyche and the soul.
That's amazing, Christine. Did you have anyone else in your life? Because it sounds like you saw sort of a need, or there was something in you that you felt like you were called to do. Was there anyone else in your family who, you know, we're also healers or also therapists in some kind of way?
I believe that it is definitely in my family. Mm-hmm. They didn't own it or talk about it as something so out there. It was something more like private. So, for example, I only found this out like a couple of years ago, that my grandmother on my mom's side, she's passed. She's since passed, you know, she's been in the other world since I was, I think, 11. So she passed years ago, and her name was Maria Luisa. And my grandmother wore white for me. I was the first grandchild of of them. Mm-hmm. And she wore white and it had a light blue tassel around her waist for a year. Mm-hmm. And it was something that she was not, like, she's never done anything like this before. She never spoke about it. And when my mom asked, why did you wear all white, like, for Christine, like, what was that about? And she said, nada, es una promesa que hice con Dios, is a promise I did with God. Mm-hmm. And she never said to anyone, but she clearly was deeply spiritual and connected and made a promise and did a blessing for me before I even got here. So, and my mom is also highly intuitive, you know, she kind of reads people's eyes and picks up on energy. So it definitely is part of our family.
That is so beautiful. And I've heard that from other healers and other people who are in this line of work, that in order to be the closest to your ancestors or the closest to God, that you were all white, especially when you're manifesting things and, you know, things like that. So it's beautiful to hear that your grandmother did that for you. In terms of your journey, you mentioned Christina, you felt a call to this, and you were also going through your own struggles. Can you tell us a little bit about how you kind of transformed from wanting to, you know, just feeling like you had to do this line of work and also healing yourself? Was it a journey that, would you say that they were parallel? Did you have to work on yourself before you were able to help other people? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I definitely have been through that dark night of the soul, and I feel like I've died and been reborn so many times. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest wound for me was going through verbal abuse, you know, experiencing the divorce of my parents as a little girl, and not knowing how much that affected me, but remembering hearing my mom tell me stories about me crying for my dad. And my dad was in my life. You know, I was one of the lucky ones. Like I said, you know, I had so much trauma in my life, but at the same time, compared to the little girls in my neighborhood, I had it so much better because my dad was around, right? So I had this really conflicted feeling because on the one hand, I had a lot of chaos and verbal abuse and the divorce, but on the other hand, my dad was very present and was there for me and would buy me things and take me to do things. And so it was this really complicated kind of story, but the thing that affected me most was those early childhood memories of abuse and highly critical environment with a lot of name calling, a lot of yelling, a lot of breaking things, really, really, really scary and unstable. And then replicating that inner pain because I didn't know what to do with it, right? Like children don't know what to do with all of that and they're not supposed to. Right. And so I ended up, you know, taking out that pain. At the time I didn't know that I was doing it, but I was replicating my childhood trauma and just going out there and feeling lost, broken, unlovable, unworthy, and just like shattered. And inevitably, you know, I went and I found the men that were fucked up just the same and were hurting and bleeding so that we could bleed our wounds onto each other. And quite literally, like, I remember, I have a memory of like me fighting with one of my exes and like he like punched up something and there was blood on the mattress and blood on his hands and blood on me. And like, that was my life. You know, I was unable to walk away from toxic love. You know, I talk a lot about love addiction and specifically being addicted to toxic, codependent, abusive love. And usually the people that I've worked with, just like me, had experienced trauma in their childhood as well. And so having gone through those experiences, I knew that like I was suffering and I was sad. And I knew that there was this one side of me that was strong and spiritual and wise. And I felt her. It wasn't like she was dead, but it was that I couldn't listen to her yet. You know, I could hear her, but I didn't have the strength in my vessel to listen to her wisdom. And mm-hmm. So it took a lot of falling and getting back up and falling, getting back up. And, you know, while I was fucking up, I was also getting help. And it was that mixture of, thank God I was getting support because all of those little things ended up adding up, going to therapy, reading books, you know, talking about things and eventually being able to walk away. But it definitely was not a linear path.
And I'm glad that you mentioned kind of going to see your own therapist and doing your own form of healing, because I know the one thing as a myself as a therapist is that they told us that we need to be seeing someone as well in order to be in that seat and being able to know what things to tap into. Did you feel like you could appropriately, like you felt better and more equipped to guide people after you sought help for yourself and you began your journey of healing your own trauma?
To be honest, I think that I did a really good job of healing even though I was broken. You know, I think that, of course, I feel more of integrity, right? And more aligned. And of course, it feels so much better because my life is what it is behind closed doors. It's magic. It's amazing. And there was some block, of course, to healing because I was suffering in secret, right? And I kept on like relapsing on toxic love, but I would still be out there, you know, doing my thing. But I think that because spirit channels through, and because I consider myself a healer and that the work that I do is because God flows through me, right? Like I become a vessel to give healing, that I was able to do healings beyond my understanding, beyond even where what I was ready for on a human lifestyle level, you know? And it was through that healing of others that kept me going. Mm-hmm. Had I not been doing that, I don't think I would have made it.
I think that when you said that, that resonated so much with me, because I do think that when you tap into whatever it is that you are sought out to do, your light, your calling, it does help you grow as a person. And I think that's beautiful. Can you, I know you mentioned toxic love and you've mentioned love a couple of times and it's part of your services and stuff like that. Can you talk about cosmic life and kind of when that started? Because I'm sure you know you went to, you got your bachelor's, you got your master's, you got a little bit of experience, and you felt called to it at a young age. But when did you feel like, I need to do this on a full-time basis and I want to offer these specific services?
Yeah, so the first part of the question was talking about like the love addiction piece. So yeah, so that obviously inspired a lot of the birthing of my business, because I knew that I was going through this for a reason and that I needed to heal it, but I also needed to help others heal through it eventually, right? And so Cosmic Life started, and I had many incarnations of that business as well. But originally, I had a business called Sacred Space, which was a healing collective. I started that in 2010, I think. And it was a healing collective of different healers, wellness practitioners that provided energy work, intention setting, and like talk inspirational affirmations in a private healing session along with other practitioners. And I realized that while I loved that, I wanted to really develop just my own voice and focus on me healing and doing my own work, not having like a collective yet, right? Mm-hmm. Just doing collaborations through my business. So then it formed into Cosmic Life, which is a lifestyle brand that provides emotional services, mental health services in the form of one-on-one coaching, therapy, retreats, consulting, online group coaching, in-person events, and collaborations with brands and media. And now my book, which I'm writing now. And so,
awesome for you. That's awesome.
Thank you. And so, yeah, so it all was birthed with that intention of, you know, I want to help people heal deep. I want to hold space for healing and with an additional focus on helping women, Latina women and women of color heal. Mm-hmm. I work with all people now. I work with women. I work with men. I work with non-binary folks. I work with transgender folk. I work with literally anyone that comes to me now. My work has transformed a lot, in the sense that I've really honed in on working with women, because it still is my primary bread and butter and it's my soul calling. But as time has gone on and things have really found themselves solidifying, I've kind of started to open the doors and just naturally different people from different kind of walks of life have come to me. And it's been really amazing seeing that work transform as well. But Cosmic Life started as Sacred Space, in a sense, in 2010. And I've been an entrepreneur before that even. I think I had a real job only once, which was working as a therapist, as a family therapist for 6 months with Child Protective Services. And after that, I quickly started my own business. I knew that I didn't want to work in a traditional way because I felt like my creative energy was trapped in a way. I felt like I couldn't express the fullness of the work that I needed to do. And right. I couldn't help at the level that I knew that God wanted me to help. And so that's why I started my business.
Wow, that's beautiful. At the time when you started the business, did you have in mind kind of, or did you have any idea that it would grow to what it is now? Because even from our last conversation, I don't even think that you even mentioned having men or having different people of walks of life come to you. Not that you exclude them from the conversations, right? But it seemed like you were focused more on like seeing women, and you were doing more workshops for women. So even from speaking to you maybe like 4 or 5 months ago, your business has grown. Did you expect that it would kind of be what it is today, or is this what you hoped it would be?
This is what I hoped it would be. I always knew that it would be big, and I always knew that it would help a lot of people, but I didn't know how or when, and I didn't care. Like, I really didn't care. I was just like, so I'm still so obsessed, like, with my business, and I'm obsessed. I love my Diosa tribe, which is my community of women. And I love them. They're my family. They're my soul fam. They're like my soulmate clients. They are truly the most amazing, raw, deep, kind, you know, and I still do. Yes. Like you said, like my work is still primarily focused on working with women because I identify as a woman, and I also was called to do that work. But naturally, right, as I started expanding, I put on my cap as working as a therapist, and I started working with even more people, and then I started working with different brands and more different, you know, diverse audiences. And I've always attracted a diverse community, thank God. You know, that's been one of the things that's most special about my community, is that before people were talking about this and, you know, and in the wellness space, I was already doing it, you know. I didn't need someone to remind me of that, because as a Latina woman, I felt very excluded in the wellness space. And I knew that I wanted to like be the change that I saw, but also make space for other people of color, specifically women of color, to have the space to have their voices heard.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it definitely was what I wanted. But again, I had like, it was just this beautiful balance of like, this is what I knew it was going to be. I felt it in my gut. Right. And I knew it was going to keep growing. I focused on like the work, and like whether it's 2 people coming in or 1,000 people, whether it's a podcast that has 1 person listening or it's Oprah, I really don't care. I don't see them different at all.
That's amazing. And I really want to touch on the fact that despite, you know, you feeling like there was a gap, right? You didn't see yourself in that space where you're a Latina-run business or therapist touching upon these things, and you wanted to focus on women and people of color. You said that you wanted them to feel included, and you wanted to create a space for them. So then what was important for you? How were you at the time, and probably still are, creating a safe space for women, specifically and women of color, to come to you and to use your services and to utilize you as a vessel?
Yeah, I love that question. It moves me so much because, you know, I grew up in Bushwick in Brooklyn. I grew up in a primarily Latino community. I went to a school with mostly Black and Latina women. I went to an all-girls school. And I also grew up with a lot of Filipino people in my neighborhood. So we were definitely a diverse community, but I knew when I walked into the wellness space, I was like, wait a minute, how come I only see white people?
right.
Why are there only these white men and women? And their story doesn't resonate with me. Like, I love what they're saying, kind of, but I don't feel the warmth. I don't feel the depth. And it's not to say everyone, right? Like,
right.
I have wonderful mentors that are white, and I've had wonderful experiences. It goes beyond color, right? It's about soul and like people. But when you walk into a space and you only see, you know, that there are not voices that sound like yours, that feel like yours, that share your story over and over and over again, then you have to wonder, you know, what's going on in this power dynamic, and there's something wrong. And I knew that when I went into the bookstores and I didn't see anybody, and I, you know, I could only see like maybe Iyanla Van Zandt, who I love, but like she was already older. She's a Black woman. I was like, I want some more Latina women, you know, like, this is great. This is cool. Okay, we have Don Miguel Ruiz. Don Miguel Ruiz, amazing, but you're older as well. You know, you're a man. Like, I don't resonate fully with that either. And so, you know, I found Gabby Bernstein and I was like, okay, she's cool. She's an addict. I love that. But she was like white and Jewish. And I was like, okay, but I don't really resonate with that. And it's not that you, it is identification over a personal struggle, right?
Right.
That matters. And culture matters too. And
absolutely.
They were leaving that piece of the conversation out because for them, they found their culture everywhere. So they didn't have to seek it. Whereas me and many of us as people of color don't find that. So they, you know, they just didn't notice that, that's that privilege, right? That white privilege that we speak about. So for me, I knew that I was like, oh no, like I'm cool with everyone. I love all people as long as you're nice, right? And as long as you give a fuck and get the things that matter, right? And you're a kind soul. But I knew that something was off. And I was like, okay, like I need to rise up and I need to use my voice and I need to be seen and I need to be out there so that other Latina girls and women of color can be like, yeah, I resonate with that story. I identify with that. And so it became very important to me. And the Diosa tribe was born out of that. And Diosa is the Spanish word for goddess. And that's really where that was born from, was really using that Spanish word to honor our divinity and our culture.
Yes, I'm over here trying to resist, like snapping my fingers because
yes.
You literally saw a gap in services and a lack, and you filled it by using your own gifts and talents. That's so beautiful. That is so, so beautiful. And I want us to kind of get into the piece where you are talking about the goddess piece, because going through like reading what you've done and your website, your Instagram, it all seems to be about light and love and being in alignment with the universe and things like that, that I think I mentioned to you before. A lot of therapists, at least in the traditional setting that I'm used to, don't use that or they shy away from it. Myself, I had a private practice where I would talk about, you know, simple things like, you know, meditation and how important eating and sleeping is and drinking water, and some of my patients just, that wouldn't resonate with them because they wanted other kind of intervention. So can you tell us about how you kind of use that, I guess, the gifts that our ancestors gave us? How are you using that in your services and when you're talking to people and things like that? Or do you, at least?
Yeah. So I just wanted to make a note. My work is more about, I would say that yes, love and light is part of it, but because I just want to make a quick note about, you know, in the New Age community, love and light can be very like spiritual bypassing. And I would say that my work, obviously I know you don't mean that, but I just want to clarify for the listeners that are listening that I resonate more with saying that I do more shadow work than light work.
Oh, shadow work. Okay. So tell about people, that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I tell people that, of course, I'm a light worker because I bring people to the light, right? To heal, to rise. But, you know, I found again with the New Age community that there was a lot of spiritual bypassing, a lot of talking about, you know, well, you attract everything that you see. Whatever you think, you attract. And I don't believe that. You know, I don't believe that life is that simple. I don't believe that it's fair to say that someone attracted something. I think the law of attraction can be highly dangerous on a psychological level.
Right, right.
Not given proper disclaimers. And what I mean by that is if, you know, if you get gang raped, right? Or if you're in a traumatic war and you're trying to tell someone some bullshit that Esther Hicks is saying of like, hey, you know, you attract everything that comes to you.
No, I could tell, almost like victim blaming, like you
Yes.
you brought this upon yourself kind of. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah.
And that's really, really a lot of what we see, because the New Age movement, when you look at the people that founded it years ago, it was based on New Age thought, which was based from white men and very, very disembodied teachings, meaning that they weren't really about the somatic experience about processing trauma. They were very much so in the mind and just saying, if you think it, if you achieve it, then you do it. And it's really in the masculine. And my work is really in the feminine. It's about bringing the fully embodied experience and saying, you know, that isn't helpful. No, you didn't attract that. That is something that you experience. And, you know, it's not going to be helpful to tell someone that, but what's going to be helpful is to hold their pain, to rock them, to sing to their wounds, to tell them that they're safe, to tell them that they didn't deserve it, that they did nothing wrong, that they didn't bring that upon themselves, that they're sick people in the world, to give them boundaries, to show them tools. And in my work with fusing kind of this like shamanic shadow work with this modern therapy work is about really bringing people into their body and bringing people into their soul. Mm. And in that, having a really embodied experience of healing versus just trying to get people to say that they can snap their fingers or put an affirmation on something and everything will change. Affirmations are beautiful and everything in its right place, but there's a lot of depth that I think is missing in the conversation. And so I tell people that work is, especially with my work with the women that I work with, especially women of color, they need a fully embodied experience so they can heal.
And I love that you mentioned that, because I think that we get so much information, Christine, about like, so you know, the wellness. I think the wellness movement has now become a business where between the tools that you can use and the ways that you can manifest and books and videos and all these things have become very popular, and it can be really saturated, and it's tough to be both a healer, a therapist, even a regular person, because you don't know what you should do and what you shouldn't do. So I like that you are kind of, I don't want to say going against the grain, because I don't think that you are, but more like showing people that is not just writing these things down, it's not just manifesting or lighting a candle, it's not just using the tools, but they need to be in addition to healing the traumas of your past, not just dealing with the stuff that's in the present. If that's, at least I think that's what you're trying to say.
Exactly. And having and speaking spirituality that's grounded and understanding and really questioning the things that we take in, you know, and really being curious and saying, does this really resonate with me? I mean, you know, I call it like junk food. Like sometimes it's good to like listen to a little, like a lot of the things that I talk shit about, I like some aspect of it, but I have done enough work to have a deeper understanding of the fact that it's total bullshit for the majority of people. A lot of the things that we read are privileged points of view that don't apply to everyone, right? And so I think that as long as we can be mindful about what we digest in terms of the healing that we do and understand that there needs to be depth, you know, there's that depth that needs to be added so that we can actually heal at our core, at our root, and not just put a band-aid on it.
Absolutely. No, I love that, because we will put band-aids on things, and we won't, how are you supposed to move forward if you do not address your past? I love that. As a therapist, do you ever get concerned about how bringing up someone's trauma in their past, if that's going to re-traumatize them, or that's going to put them in a vulnerable situation? And if so, how do you deal with it?
You know, because of the work of fusing kind of like the shamanic or ancient wisdom perspective with modern therapy, I do feel like at this point and that I don't feel scared, but I do feel protective of my clients, meaning that I am very aware, and there's like a dance of seeing, you know, what feels right for that person, what doesn't. And especially like I do my Diosa retreat every year. And that's a deep healing retreat in Puerto Rico, the third weekend of July. And during that retreat, it's really for, I say it's like a spiritual surgery for people that want to go to the root, that want to shed old layers and like rise in their worth. And in that retreat, we go in. And
that sounds like it.
You know, people, I tell them, it's like, I'm like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer, like shedding, you know, like, like slaying demons from
inside. Yes, I love that.
And in that retreat, for example, we are bringing up trauma, but I speak with everyone before they come, and I'm trained to hold them in that space. And actually, trauma doesn't release from the body from just speaking. So a lot of times people are going to therapy and they're just talking, but nothing's going to heal if you just talk. It needs to be released on an energetic and body level.
Okay.
Trauma stored in the body. And so what we'll do are experiential techniques and breath work and meditations and visualizations and actual embodiment work so that the trauma can actually come through, whether that's through massive crying or shaking or trembling. But when animals are in the wild and they're traumatized, they can run really fast or shake, and it allows the trauma to be processed through their nervous system. But with humans, we don't have that ability. So usually we freeze the trauma in our nervous system or run. So we are actually not able to process, and we don't have the spaces, even in modern therapy, that allow us to have that experience of processing our feelings in a healthy way. And so with my retreat, I create that space for people to have that in a safe container, of course, and in a way that feels good for them, but so that they can finally get it through them and release it on an energetic level.
And I love that you mentioned a couple of things, like providing somebody the actual physical space to release their demons, and not just through their voice, but through physical symptoms like screaming, crying, maybe, you know, in a physical way, you know, walking around, things like that, because you have to be in line when it comes to mind, body, and spirit. What other services do you kind of provide, Christine, that allows people to tap into their trauma and kind of dig deep into to heal the things that they've been through?
Right now, like you said, so much has happened even from the last time we spoke. I'm writing a book. I do the same things I've always done, which is one-on-one coaching, one-on-one therapy. I do private half-day healings, virtual or in person. I do private retreats. So I had someone come meet me in Puerto Rico, and we, you know, we pray, we meditate, we purge, we laugh, we ride horses, we do whatever your soul needs. It's like a custom medicine. And then I do my Diosa retreat. I do online events. I have a healing love addiction course that's online, self-study. And then I collaborate with brands and create content for them around topics that matter, like, you know, domestic violence or abuse, perfectionism, self-esteem, and speak on, you know, panels or wherever I could talk about this, I go.
Yes. And I think that's amazing. And it seems like all of it seems to have like this theme that you've been talking about, which is you had your own trauma with love, and you're trying to help other people heal from the trauma of love. Does it seem like is that the topic of your potential book? Is trauma or toxic love, is that seems to be the core of your work?
Yeah, that's definitely a major part. But I think even like deeper than that is like the ways that we all self-sabotage that lead us to those places, right? And like, where do we get those from? So going back to that root again of like that, you know, ancestral trauma. So I think it's about like healing. I would say it's about going to the root, recognizing the ways that we've picked up this trauma, right? Healing from that trauma, becoming aware of it, and seeing how those patterns play out, that self-sabotage, and connecting again to our soul and to the voice of our soul. That would be the kind of the core of it, is coming back to our soul, to our truth.
Thank you so much for mentioning self-sabotage, because I knew it was something that we talked about last time that I was really excited about. Can you kind of share with me, how does one know, say, because I have a lot of women that listen to this podcast who I know personally that are struggling with, they're in really toxic relationships. And as we know, the most dangerous time for a woman to leave a toxic relationship, most dangerous time for a woman in a toxic or abusive relationship is when she leaves. So I'm not in a position to tell anybody to leave or anything like that, but what are some of the signs that perhaps that you're self-sabotaging, or the relationship that you're in, I guess it's two different questions, are is toxic or that there need that you need to find a way to heal it or get out of it or something like that?
Yeah, like, so first I'll touch on, you know, self-sabotage, and then I'll talk about, you know, toxic relationships. So self-sabotage is when you are going against your soul.
Okay.
When you are going against that part of you that is rooting for the life energy in you. Self-sabotage is when you consciously or unconsciously choose, right?
Right.
Or chooses that death energy, the unnecessary death energy, that destruction energy, that energy that you know is pulling you away from your true self, away from your whole self, away from your healthy self, and towards chaos, towards pain, towards repetition, towards toxicity, towards stagnation, towards stale energy, towards stuck energy, right? Mm-hmm. And so on and so on. And so we're either walking closer towards, you know, our not either walking towards, because it's a combination, but what I would say is that you know when you are overdoing a pattern and you're stuck, right? And that's usually when people come to me, is when they're like, listen, I've been pressing repeat on this shit for too long. I'm tired.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that, because you were talking about feeling like you're not connected to self and feeling stuck. But I don't think people even realize when they're stuck, they just don't feel like themselves. So yes, I'm glad you're getting into that.
Yeah. And like, you know, you may recognize signs, but be like, you may be so used to being stuck that you've given up already. Right?
Exactly. Right. You don't even realize that you are stuck until someone else is like, girl, what is going on with you?
Yeah. And then it kind of like wakes you up out of your, like, you know, sleepwalking. Right?
Exactly. Sleepwalking. Yes.
So, you know, yeah, I think that's why it's so important to, you know, maybe it's listening to this podcast, maybe it's reading a book, maybe it's a conversation with a girlfriend, maybe it's a fight that wakes you up, maybe it's just you crying one day, you know, maybe it's you reading an old journal and realizing that you're doing the same thing, or you just get really sad and you're like, this can't be it, right? Like, there has to be more. Like, I can't, what, like, I should be feeling better. I should be happier. I should be. And when those feelings come up, right, you right. You say there's some part of you says, I want change, right? And
yes.
That's the beauty, is that there is a part of us that's rooting for us to live, to not just live and not kill ourselves, but to live and not spiritually die, because you can be
alive.
You can be alive mm-hmm. and be dead inside.
Yes. Yes. And I think, I mean, there's so much from that I want to unpack, but I think it's just living and not living. Thriving, surviving. But I think also we ignore, because our body tells us, right, Christine, like when we are in that situation where we need to change, we are getting signs from the universe. Why do you think that people often ignore those signs until it's too late?
Well, I think that because of our childhood and our conditioning and whatever traumas that are in our life, we need to learn lessons. We're in these human bodies to learn lessons. And, you know, I think that sometimes we're not ready to, we don't have the capacity, the energy to make the change. You need energy, literally energy in your vessel to make change. And if that energy is locked in trauma, it's going to be on repeat. Imagine a wheel in your nervous system just playing over, because it doesn't have enough energy to go to a new circuit. It's just repeating to the same circuit. So that's why it's so important to do breath work, to pray, to find pattern interrupters that will create a space between you and your reactive behaviors, between you and your self-sabotage. And that's really kind of like all of the spiritual techniques, the therapeutic techniques, are really teaching people and giving people different mindset shifts, different energy shifts, different techniques, different approaches, so that they can have more space, so they can actually have the power of choice again.
Absolutely. And it sounds like from what you're saying, from what I gather, is that if anyone wants to heal from any kind of current issues that they're going through, you have to heal your past traumas, right? And the things that, I don't know, the kind of constructs that we were raised upon, and the things, you kind of have to reflect on those things first before you're trying to figure out what you're currently going through.
Yeah, I always say, let's start at the root and let's bring it up. You know, we start at your vagina. We start at the core. from the beginning, that's where life was made, from the sexual organs. And if you're talking about the energy system, you know, they would say that's the sex chakra. And so starting at the root of it all, going to that representation of what was home like, you know, was your home safe? Was it unsafe? What were the messages that you got either overtly or covertly? What did they tell you about marriage? What did they tell you about work? What did they tell you about sex? What did they show you? What did they not show you? What secrets existed, and so on. And, you know, and as you unpack that, you get to know who you be and who you are and who you were and who you're not.
Right.
And who you were taught to be that you don't want to be, and who you date that you don't want to date, you know, because he reminds you of your daddy. And you're like, you know, oh shit, he's my toxic dad in another body. Right? Like, that's sick. Yeah, okay, but that's life. That's how our psyche works. And so I think when women and when the people that I work with start to realize that, you have these aha moments because they're making connections between what happened then, what's happening now, and how can I make a change for the future?
Yes, and I love that, because I think that we often think that our current kind of routine, environment, and the people that we're around are the issue. But sometimes it can be, right? But sometimes the issue is within ourselves and the things that we haven't dealt with that are now spilling over into our relationships.
Yeah, I usually think it's both, because if you're feeling, if you're usually, you know, like, if you, going back to that question of like the toxic relationships, right? Like, sometimes, yes, you know, unfortunately, I wouldn't wish trauma on anyone. I wouldn't wish that anyone would have to go through replicating that kind of pattern, but sometimes we do, right? And if we do, let us learn everything that we need to learn from it so that we can walk away, you know? And if you are in an abusive situation, you need to get professional help. You can call the domestic violence hotline. You can get a therapist so that you can make a safety plan, because as you were saying, you know, if you are in an abusive relationship, even if it's verbal and not yet physical, it can quickly escalate. And usually the most dangerous time for people to leave is when they're about to make their exit. So that's just like a disclaimer. But even if you're not in an abusive relationship and you're just like in a relationship that's unhealthy for you both, then in that case, right, you are able to safely leave, but maybe you don't have the strength to yet. So start where you are at and start asking yourself, right? Like, what do I know to be true? And you can start with, well, I know this doesn't feel good consistently and I'm really sad a lot of the time. Like, start gathering what you know to be true so that slowly you can start convincing yourself to that you deserve more and that you can get the help that you need to make changes. And, you know, any area of your life, whether it's you're stuck at work or stuck in a toxic relationship or stuck, you know, there is always a solution. But sometimes, you know, it's hard. It's hard to make changes. So be super gentle with yourself. Be super compassionate with yourself as you trip and fall, because healing, as they say, is not linear.
No, it definitely isn't. And I think I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, the hotline numbers and seeking a therapist, because I think the one thing that we've also been talking about in this conversation is that it's just not one thing that you have to do. There's different vessels that you can use for your healing, but the most important is figuring out what works for you, because, you know, some people think that going to therapy is a luxury item. I know that we pump, you know, go seeing your therapist and talking to people, but sometimes that's not an option for people. So I'm glad that there's a space for those people who maybe can't go to a therapist and they can use other tools. Are there tools, Christine, that you find helpful for people to use to tap into their inner diosa, you know, their inner goddess, if they can't go to traditional therapy?
I think prayer is powerful. I think writing and journaling what they're feeling.
Yes.
And writing down specific questions like, where is the pain in my heart? Who has hurt me? How is this hurt affecting me? How is it making me act out? Is this bringing me closer to the woman, human person that I want to be, or farther away? Having some sort of self-care plan, whether that's, you know, journaling, writing, listening to music, talking to a dear friend, maybe going to a church or to, you know, a school and seeing if they have sliding scale therapy, or someone that's willing to do pro bono, you know. finding different tools and collecting them, I think is key. And being open to getting help, I think is key as well, because it's often hard to ask for help.
Absolutely. Thank you for mentioning the power of journaling as well, because I've always thought that writing things down is sort of like a spell. Like you have it on paper, so you have to do it, or it's real once you put it on paper. And that's one thing that I've told a lot of people. And I don't use the word spell because not everyone believes in spells, but I'll say, you know, once you write something down, it makes it real and you have power over it. So I tell a lot of people that if they're going through something, to kind of purge all their feelings out on a piece of paper, and they either, you know, they can fold it, they can burn it, or they can just keep it in their journal. But there's a lot of power in writing down your words too.
Exactly. I totally agree.
What do you do for Christine for self-care? Cause you know, as a therapist, it's super really, really important for us to kind of take care of ourselves. We're listening to people's traumas and we're taking in a lot of people's energy. So what do you do to take care of yourself at the end of the day?
Yeah, I take care of myself. I feel like 80% of my life is like self-care now, because it is something so important. And like the way that I've set up my business is that I don't work with one-on-one clients that often, maybe a couple of hours a week total. And the majority is like creating content or preparing for that big retreat. So I do two retreats a year, the Diosa retreat and the Diosa mastermind, which is like for business entrepreneurs that are like soulful leaders that want to take it to the next level. And it's a 9-month mentorship with a trip to Bali, which we're going to this May.
Yes, that sounds so fun.
Yeah, it's so freaking magical there. And so like I have like these ways that I've realized, and the reason why, and that goes back to your question, I did it that way was because I need a lot of self-care. Like even before we started this call, I was like, I took today off. You're like, oh my God, me too. I took a mental health day. I'm like, me too. I'm like, we were watching Netflix and just relaxing and ordering like, you know, food or eating. And like, I do that, but also my lifestyle, because of the business that I've set up, is very much so like that, where I wake up, I like to go to sleep a little bit later and wake up later. So I like to wake up like around 9, I would say. And I go walk my dog. I get a big green juice every morning and like an iced matcha or warm matcha. That's part of my self-care. I pray, I meditate, I do breath work. I do 12 steps. I'm in a 12-step program, which I love. And so that has been super healing for me. Community, going to workshops that impact my mind and my spirit, always learning new things is really big. Soul sister time, sacred sexual time. My sensuality is very up there in my self-care. I call it, you know, like activating your inner puta. You know, you gotta be.
Yes, I love that. Yes.
You gotta be in touch with your sexual. And that's a big part of my training as well as Tantra. So all of those things, you know, creativity, fun, play, dancing, laughing, sexing, eating, laughing, talking, whatever it is. Therapy. I go to therapy every week too. So a lot of things. A lot of things. And a lot of time traveling to places that light me up. I spend a lot of time going to Puerto Rico, which is like my soul home.
I know last time I think we were supposed to record, you were in Puerto Rico. So how did it feel to be back in, because you're Puerto Rican, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so how did it feel to be back home?
I love being in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico to me is like, and then coming back to New York is kind of always like, oh, why am I doing this? Why am I paying rent? You know?
Right. You're like, why am I here? Right. I just came back from Puerto Rico too, so I feel the same way.
What part did you go?
I stayed in Condado just because I was going to a Sweet 15 in San Juan, but we went to Piñones, we went to Rio Piedra.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, so I have family in Quintana, and then I was taking my boyfriend with me, so I took him all over the island because he's never been, so.
I love it. Yeah.
Next time I want to go to Culebra because I've heard that that's a beautiful beach.
Oh, Culebra is gorgeous, and so is Vieques. You have to.
Ooh, Vieques. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and if you go to Vieques, stay in La Finca Victoria. It's my friend's hotel. It's fucking gorgeous. That's where the Diosa retreat is going to be this year. It's beautiful.
Okay, if I just pop up, you know, just don't mind me. I'll just be hanging out watching you guys.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That is that's a beautiful. Is that something that people can still sign up for, Christine?
I have like 3 spots left. So they can go to diosaretreat.com, D-I-O-S-A retreat.com, or to my main website, christineg.tv, and click on events and you'll see the Diosa retreat there.
Perfect, perfect. I mean, this is a great transition. Can you tell us about things that you have coming up that we can kind of look out for, and how the people and the folks can find you and where?
Yeah, so the Diosa retreat for deep healing is what I just mentioned. I have a monthly membership called Diosa Tribe membership, which is digital, so you could join from anywhere in the world, and it's a really great way to get your feet wet and be in the community. It's $27 a month. We do 1 live group coaching call a month. And then I have a program, Healing Love Addiction, and you can go to healingloveaddiction.com or go straight to my website. And that's exactly what it says, for healing out of toxic relationships.
Yes.
And finding self-love, and it's completely self-study. But if you have any questions at all, you can just mention that you found me on this podcast, and I'll give you a free 15-minute call. I can give you a link to put for your
show notes and stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
And we can talk about what's the best fit for you.
And I can definitely say that Christine's Instagram is beautiful. So if you're just looking for general everyday inspo, it is beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you have like a Facebook or anywhere else where you like to communicate with people, or people can like, you know, just chat with you if they have a question?
Yeah, I don't accept questions really on social media anymore. Okay. For my mental health. But like, if you have a specific question because you want to work with me, or, you know, I'm super interactive in my comments, but not like free DM advice, kind of. I'll just give that
as a warning. No DM. No DM.
But Cosmic Christine is my Instagram, CosmicChristine. And I love to hang out there. It's mostly me and my dog, Bodhi, hanging out and my travels. But it's a fun place to be. And if you are on Facebook, my name, Christine Gutierrez, and I can give you the link for that too.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much, Christine. I definitely feel like there's more that I wanted to dive in with you, but I want to be respectful of your self-care day and the fact that it's late and you want to eat dinner. And yeah.
We could do this again. We'll play again. This was
amazing. We'll play again. I want to hear about the Diosa retreat. And I want to know how that went. And if there's ever a topic that you want to just talk about in general with the podcast that you feel like it needs to be on a bigger platform, or that you think world needs to know about it, absolutely. You're more than invited to come back.
Thank you, my love. You're amazing.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Basic Latina podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. You could find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you want to reach us, please do so on Instagram and Facebook at Basic Latina Podcast. Or if you'd like to write us an email with any questions, suggestions, or comments, you can write us in at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. Sound editing for this episode is by moi, and the music is by Chef Dog. Talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care.